Welcome to Amazing Business Radio with best-selling author and customer service and business expert, Shep Hyken. Shep will talk with some of the smartest thinkers in business to help make you more successful in your professional and personal life. This is Amazing Business Radio with Shep Hyken.
Hello, everybody. It's Shep Hyken here. We're back with another episode of Amazing Business Radio. Today's guest is Spencer Burke, the Senior Vice President of Growth at Braze, a customer engagement platform that delivers personalized messages across multiple platforms. They have a brand new report. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk to this gentleman about some incredible opportunities to use AI to personalize the experience. Before we get into the interview, quick announcement. And if you've heard me before, you know what this is. If you've got an amazing story that you want to share or a question that you want to ask, be sure to reach out to me on any of the social media channels. I am everywhere. If it is a question, use the hashtag Ask Shep. I'll either answer the question there on this show, in my newsletter, The Shepherd Letter, or on my TV show, which is Be Amazing or Go Home. Episodes can be found on Apple TV, Roku, Amazon Prime, or just go to beamazing.tv. That is beamazing.tv. All right, let's get into the interview. Spencer, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Shep. Really excited to join you today.
Well, we have a lot to talk about. You have an amazing new report, the 2024 Braze Customer Engagement Review, which we're going to get into in a little while. But let's just jump right into it. First of all, how long have you been at Braze?
Been at Braze 12 and a half years. I joined just shortly after the company was founded. So seeing it from the beginning through our IPO to today.
I hope you got a lot of stock options when you started.
You know, I'm enjoying the volatility of the markets like everyone else.
you don't have to answer. And you're the senior VP of growth. What are we trying to grow?
Trying to grow the business. But for us at Braze, we took a kind of a unique approach with growth. It's a combination of our data teams, our education and certification, as well as our market pricing competitive strategy. So we kind of run the gamut from looking at data in detail to defining some of the strategy for Braze looking into the future.
Great. All right. So let's jump into what this is all about, customer service and experience. I've written many times that this is really a marketing function. It's customer and service, experience belongs in the marketing group. And some people say, well, how can that be? Well, marketing is all about bringing people in. And that's part of growth. But guess where growth comes from? Also, existing customers. So what do you see are the primary obstacles facing marketers right now?
Yeah, well, first up, I completely agree with you. I think marketing is really about connecting brands and consumers. And there's a lot of touch points across the customer journey that can be through customer support or customer care, through more traditional marketing channels, and then all the digital channels that we use today. Actually, I think today is one of the best times to be a marketer. We have more tools at our disposal than we've ever had before, more data than we've ever had at our disposal before. And there's a lot of opportunities to engage with our consumers, our customers in new ways.
I just got to interrupt for a second. I just love something you said, and this is a nugget that everybody needs to pay attention to. You gave a 5-word definition of marketing. Marketers connect brands and consumers. That's what our job is. And how we get there is all about getting people to want to buy and getting people to want to stay and keep buying more. So I had to write it down. I've already got my first takeaway, and we're about a minute and a half into the segment here.
Perfect. Well, I'm honored I could help distill that down for someone as experienced as you in the space. One of the things that's really interesting that we did in the reviews, we surveyed 1,900 marketers. You know, what better way to learn about marketing than to ask marketers themselves? And, you know, one of the things that we found is that there's just a lot that's on their plate right now. And it's not as easy to dig into some of the creative initiatives that's been in the past. A lot of the stuff that we found is, yeah, there's a lot of emphasis on routine tasks, trying to drive towards KPIs, but lacking some data and agility to be able to do that. And one of the things I really love in marketing, as both a marketing professional, but also as a consumer, is just that creative magic that you can get from a brand. And a lot of marketers are looking for ways to bring that back into their programs.
And in your report that you just recently released, one of the areas that you talk about is creativity in marketing and how AI is unleashing creativity. But not it, when, if you read that by itself, I was like, oh, okay, how does it do that? Does it help us be more creative? And the reality of it is it does help us by not actually helping us, but giving us more space and time as a result of AI allowing us to automate and do processes that are normally a major time suck on somebody's job, which you get rid of those day-to-day tasks, free us up from those responsibilities, and it allows us to be able to do more with less time. So I love that. Let's go ahead and talk about that for a minute. I mean, that was one of the trends or findings in the report. I'm looking at it now. Trend number one, creativity and strategy work better together with AI.
Yeah, we found 99% of marketers are using AI in some capacity. I'm always a little suspicious when you see numbers that high, but anyone who's been close to the space at all can see how that's true, because it's not just in marketing, it's across all professions. You know, it's like you're sitting at the dinner table and everyone in your family, even people who aren't tech oriented, are asking about AI, and ChatGPT has been a huge part of that.
Do you think I have to wonder how many people are, and let's talk about consumers or customers or non-marketers for a moment, because you mentioned ChatGPT. 1 year and about 3 or 4 months ago, nobody had ever heard about ChatGPT. And then all of a sudden, it's like the biggest thing. We do a survey every year, 2024 survey. We do it at the early part of January. And one of the questions we asked is, how familiar are you with ChatGPT? A consumer survey, by the way. We didn't ask marketers. Yeah. We asked consumers. How familiar are you? How comfortable with you are you? Are you afraid of it? Do you embrace it? And number one, I was surprised at how many people didn't have any idea what ChatGPT really did. Okay. Number two, quite a few people are afraid of it. They don't know what to think of it. They're worried it's going to take over the world. And then there are others that say, if companies don't offer AI-infused self-service digital solutions to help them, they don't even want to do business with them. By the way, you could probably guess the age group of that particular audience that said that.
Well, Shep, I'm curious for you and what you do, if it's played a role in your work.
Oh, 100%. I use it almost every single day. I write articles. So every week I'm writing 3 to 4 articles a week, and I'm finding I'm stuck on a way to say something that's better easily understood, because I write like I talk, but when I read it, it reads like crap, to be honest with you. But it sounds really good if I were to say it out loud. So I ask ChatGPT to help me with that, which, by the way, to your point about how it frees up time, I am no longer worried about saying it perfectly when I can put it into an engine that will help me mold my words into a better readable piece of, an article, rather than, because I can, by the way, here's a little secret to the, here's how we make the sausage in the sausage factory.
Yeah.
I do a video every single week, and I write an article. The article gets published, and I do the video. And the way I write the article now, I write it exactly the way I'm going to say it. So I don't care about punctuation, grammar, nothing. And guess what? I no longer have to go back and spend 2 hours fixing it. I drop it in the machine. The machine kicks out a better version. I give it to my team. They make it even tighter. And boom, we've got an article. And instead of taking 3 hours to do it, it only took me 45 minutes. So, and I think that is a metaphor, if you will, or a case study for almost anything that AI can do for you.
That's similar to what we found in the survey as well. While almost everyone is using AI in some form, there is no one use case for it that stood out above all the others. It's really a mix across the board of exact things like you're describing, generating new ideas, automating repetitive tasks. There's some interesting data use cases to try to enhance analysis or predict customer segments. And then for a marketer, being able to personalize campaigns and messaging, like an email and push notifications, is a big part of it. But I, like you, love the the ability to really think pretty free form and get some feedback, start to edit it. And within Braze, we actually release some functionality. So as a customer's composing an email, they're working on an SMS, maybe it's part of a campaign to bring someone into an app or an abandoned cart to help facilitate a purchase. We have editing functionality built in. The AI is not going to do all the work for you. It's not going to write out a whole email, although people are using it for things like that. But when you know what you want to say, but you just haven't nailed it down just right, that's a huge confidence booster to be able to drop that in into one of the AI interfaces and get some quick feedback, make some quick improvements for clarity, for impact, all those kinds of things.
Now, something you just mentioned is that the AI can help you personalize the customer experience. And as a marketer, you have a lot of customer data. And to be able to use that the right way without making the customer feel like you know too much about them, where it's creepy. And by the way, I'm the guy that says, and I've said this many times on the show, put a chip in my neck and follow me all around everywhere. I'm happy for you to personalize every experience I have. It's not creepy at all because, you know, whether I know it's happening or not, it's happening, you know. But anyway, the point is the computer, as I'm working with a customer or the AI technology, recognizes who my customer is and can feed me information about my customer. And probably can tell me information about the customer that the customer hasn't told me yet, because that customer might be like 5,000 other customers that I have. And if I'm talking to them about or interacting with them through a marketing channel, I probably know what they're going to need before they need it, based on case studies of thousands of other customers we might have. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I think one of the things that we think a lot about is, what's that right balance between personalization and, like you said, that kind of creepiness factor? I think that right now is this huge moment where a lot of brands are starting to take more ownership of their customer data. We've seen this, you know, whether it's the streaming platforms like a Disney Plus or other direct-to-consumer initiatives where, you know, some of the big consumer packaged goods companies are starting to sell their products themselves instead of through retailers. You want to own and manage that customer experience. And I think with that data, customers expect you to provide value. I think that the creepiness is actually more of a mismatch when the customer is expecting you to do something because, hey, you know me, you know what shows I watch, you know what I've purchased in the past. And then when you don't hit that quite right, there's a little bit of a disconnect. So I think it's really using data, being a great steward of the data and respecting the customer and trying to work towards their expectations.
Right. I get it. So using the data, proving that I know who you are isn't creepy unless, well, I guess I could cross the line. But if I make a mistake, then it becomes kind of creepy. It's like the example, and I don't know where it came from. It's very generic, but it's like somebody bought a person a baby gift because they were having a baby. And the next thing you know, they're receiving all these ads as if they were having the baby. That's misusing the data, using it the wrong way, making a mistake. I think that's what causes part of the frustration on the consumer side.
I think it can be. It depends on their expectations of the brand. You know, was part of the reason you started engaging with that brand, kind of knowing that they'd be with you on that journey into parenthood? Or was it something totally unexpected and surprising? You know, and I think that's really the balance, is knowing your consumer. And like we talked about in the beginning, it's like creating that connection between the brand and consumer. And the closer you can really get to meeting them where they are, providing value to them, the better off you'll be as a brand. But a lot of that for marketers about having the tools to be able to use data and to do so effectively. I think that's a challenge a lot of companies and marketers have faced over, you know, the last 5 or 10 years.
Right, right. Hey, let's take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about what companies and brands are doing to develop long-term customer loyalty. I want to talk about what they're doing in terms of engagement and the notes that other brands should take from your wisdom. We are talking with Spencer Burke. He is the Senior Vice President of Growth at Braze, and we are coming right back. Don't go away.
One of my favorite sayings is that customer service isn't a department. It's a philosophy.
And it's a philosophy that must be embraced by everyone in the organization all the time, and that's 24/7. So if customer service is important to you, and I know it is, then you will love our virtual training, the ultimate on-demand customer service and experience training program that you can access anytime, anywhere. Now, the course content applies to everyone, regardless of position or responsibility, from senior executives to the most recently hired and everyone in between. You'll discover tips, ideas, and strategies that won't cost your company a fortune, but will produce what I call moments of magic, those positive experiences, and it will happen at every level of your organization. So go to Customer Service VT. That's V as in virtual, T as in training. That's CustomerServiceVT.com. It's time to get customer focused.
You're listening to Amazing Business Radio with best-selling author and customer service and business expert, Shep Hyken.
We're back on Amazing Business Radio talking with Spencer Burke, Senior Vice President of Growth at Braze. And we're talking about their annual report that just recently came out, the Customer Engagement Review. By the way, if you would like a copy of this, all you have to do is go to braze.com. That's braze.com/CER for, if you can't guess it, Customer Engagement Report. Very smart people. Very easy to figure out. I love it. So Spencer, we were talking about the way marketers approach the customer experience. We're talking about personalization. I want to jump into what it takes to develop that long-term loyal relationship that gets customers to say, I'll be back, and then actually come back. By the way, I'll be back. It's a shameless plug. Title of my latest book, I'll Be Back, How to Get Customers to Come Back Again and Again. But Let's talk about your perspective on that.
Yeah. One of the things that I really found interesting in the review has nothing to do with the technology, nothing to do with data. And it's actually something that's really, really easy for marketers to start doing tomorrow. We found that in particular with financial services, they're 20% more likely to sync across teams at least once a week. And the reason I love that is I think it's so easy to get lost in all of the shiny, crazy, exciting use cases that exist out there in the marketing world, especially with AI right now. And sometimes you have to just go back to the fundamentals. Like, are we communicating well as a team? Are we meeting with our colleagues and stakeholders across the business enough? And I think for a lot of folks, it's really easy to overlook some of those basics. And it's nice to see in the data that actually helps produce some results and drive performance.
So what you're suggesting is collaboration between different departments. I'm going to use an old term, silos. Okay.
Yes.
Lots of silos where different departments, different functions are operating independent of one another. And to your point, I think if companies can't bring it all together, I think that down the road, they're going to be struggling because you need to have a full picture of what's going on, not just with the customer, but actually internally. The right hand needs to know what the left hand is doing.
Yeah, I completely agree. And we found that, and I think you hear this a lot from people in the industry, is that they're maybe out of sync with their product team. They would like to have more data at their disposal, but the data team doesn't have time to support them. And just as a starting point, like, hey, are we meeting with these teams? Is there a cadence maybe that they already have where they have a product release that we can follow along and stay in sync on? Are we meeting with the data team regularly to give them a view of what our roadmap is, the things that we'd like to see? Or are we just dropping in urgent requests the last minute when we need to go chase something? So again, like none of this is like, it's just, there's no silver bullets in here, but I think just some of this like fundamental stuff can be a really great starting point versus looking at some of the crazy shiny objects out there that can be a little bit distracting.
Yep. So what are the most successful brands doing to engage with their customers that other brands need to take note of?
Yeah, a couple of things. One, they're using multiple channels in their marketing programs. For us, we're thinking about things like email, SMS, push notifications, in-product messaging, and then some newer channels like WhatsApp. Connecting multiple channels together is in all of our data across all of the engagement reviews that we've done over the past 4 years. is a tried and true strategy. It increases conversion. It increases retention with customers. And if you're only focused on maybe a single channel, you're just doing email marketing right now, one of the lowest pieces of fruit for you are going to be to go start to look at how do we expand into more of a multi-channel approach.
Yeah. I guess the question so many companies have asked, like, which channels should we be on? And my standard answer is, well, where are your customers? That's all the channels you need to be on, or only the channels you need to be on are the ones where your customers are, which might be all. Do you have a better answer?
No, I completely agree. You need to be where your customers are. I think for a lot of brands, there can be value to be on emerging channels. Like, give the example of WhatsApp. Brands are starting to use WhatsApp to communicate with customers, especially if your brand is international and you have a customer base that tends to communicate over WhatsApp versus email or SMS. That could be a really exciting opportunity. And you know, a lot of this isn't, you're not sending your future away, committing to a channel forever. Do some experimentation, try it, see if it works, try to dial in the right audience, the right time for it.
So we ask in our survey every year, again, it's a consumer survey, like what your favorite channels to communicate and ask questions, get support, or make complaints with customers or with companies are. And you can only imagine, what do you think number one is? So I'm going to interview you. What do you think number one is, Spencer? You know the answer. It's obvious.
I guess email.
No, actually, that's number two. See, the phone.
For the phone.
So the phone, and actually email, I'm sorry, email now is three. Last year it was two. Now it's chat. And I think it's usually chat with a live agent, not even an AI infused chat. Although I think if I word the question differently, I don't think people will care as long as they get the answer they want, you know, from the chat bot, whether it's a bot or a live agent. What do you think, now this you may not know the answer to, but what do you think the bottom, most least, I guess, important channel a company can use?
SMS or text, maybe.
No, those are good channels. Those are very good channels. Yeah. More and more people are seeing that's important. And to me, SMS, whether you're using WhatsApp or any of the apps that allow you to chat, and actually you can use a phone for WhatsApp as well, but any of these, to me, it's kind of like a chat anyway. It's texting is what all it is. It's text-based. But no, that the very, very bottom is social media.
Interesting.
You know, and I remember how excited I was when companies were using social media to deliver customer care. And I'm finding out as we, you know, more and more that this is a very small, tiny, tiny percentage of customers. One of my clients asked me or told me they were going to invest quite a bit of money. We're going into seven, almost eight figures on an investment into using social media for customer care. Why? Well, we're finding more and more customers are going there. Well, guess what? We found out it was not the first channel. It was the revenge channel. Where they were going when they couldn't get the answers. They didn't get their calls back. They didn't get their emails responded to. So they went to the social channels hoping someone would notice when they complained.
Yeah, I know a few people who, if they're waiting at the airport, that's their revenge channel is to hop on X and start posting away.
I like that you use X, formerly known as Twitter.
That's actually, it's interesting because when Braze started in 2011, the social and social media marketing was really starting to hit its stride. And we at the time had looked in some ways at that as a model because social all of a sudden came on the scene for marketers. And look, marketers, this is again and again with marketing, is you have your tools, you're comfortable with your tools. And then something new comes on the scene and you're adapting and evolving your strategy, evolving your tools, bringing in new people into the business to support that. And social had a huge wave around that as everyone was figuring out how to use that effectively and brands were finding their voice. But around the time that we started, mobile did the same thing, where again, you're kind of comfortable in your channels and then all of a sudden push notification apps become a thing. Everyone's trying to understand how to effectively position themselves in the App Store, how to use that as part of a messaging strategy. And then, you know, products like Uber and Airbnb only lived inside of that mobile ecosystem. So, you know, I think that's always a really interesting part of marketing to me, is just how channels and strategies kind of come and go as new platforms arise. And that's a really hard part of marketing, is staying on top and following those trends.
Right. There was a very famous advertising, you know, just an amazing, I can't remember who it was, but said 50% of advertising works. You could probably say the same about the marketing strategies you have. Just he wasn't sure which 50% it was. So you kind of have to be trying different things. Well, we're almost out of time, and I love to end the show with the final question. I warned you it would be coming, and I'm just going to ask you for your one last little bit of wisdom that you can share with us about marketing and customer experience.
Yeah, my one thing I'm really obsessed with right now is thinking about the fundamentals and how do people become great at something. You know, there's ideas around getting your 10,000 hours, and I love thinking about it in terms of sports, like what the great athletes doing. They're out there spending time, you know, Michael Jordan, but they're working early, focusing on shooting, footwork, passing. Those fundamentals that made someone like him really great. It wasn't all the things that happened at the All-Star game. It was all the work outside of that. And I think the same thing in marketing. It's a great time to be a marketer. We have to keep focusing on those fundamentals, you know, understanding where customers are, what the tools we have, the data we have available. And that unleashes a lot of the potential in terms of creativity. And the more we can kind of keep focusing and building on that craft of customer engagement, I think the more successful we'll all be as marketers.
Well, you sound like a great coach. Start with the fundamentals in mind. And by the way, as soon as the top athletes struggle, they all go into slumps at some point or another, what do? They go to the coach, and the coach goes back to the fundamentals. And it's the same in business. We have to understand it's really not all that complicated. It's not easy. Okay. It's simple, but not easy, I think is a great way of saying it. I just wrote an article. It's not yet published, but I quoted Steve Jobs, who said something about, you know, it's very difficult to make something easy.
And then
there's athletes right the who head. Say, you know, we worked our entire lives to make this look so easy.
Yep. But, yeah, I think this is like I said, it's a great time to be a marketer, and it can be a challenging profession in many ways, but I think it's just what an exciting time, and especially with the tools we have and AI and the past year and a half of what that's brought us. Really excited for the future.
Yep, I am as well, and I think your point's well taken. With all the technology and AI and everything that's out there, just remember the fundamentals are still the fundamentals. I love it. Well, I want to just mention it again, the Customer Engagement Review, that report, it's braze.com/CER. Spencer, thanks for being on the show. This is why we call it Amazing Business Radio. You are a great guest and imparted some great information. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thanks, Shep. Really enjoyed it.
All right, everybody, that wraps it up. Another episode of Amazing Business Radio. Please come back next week, because I promise you another great interview. Until that time, this is Shep Hyken reminding you to always be amazing.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.